This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. فعاش القلب إخلاصا وصرت تحوم كالطير تحلق في ثقافات وتنهل من روبى الخير.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله العظيم الخبير المتعالي الحمد لله الذي لا تحجبه ظلمات الليالي الحمد لله الذي أرسى الجبال العوالي سبحانه من إله عظيم يغفر الذنوب ولا يبالي لا إله إلا الله بها نحيا وبها نموت وبها نلقى الله وبها نوالي وأشهد أن عظيمنا وقدوتنا ومولانا قرة عيني محمد ابن عبد الله عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله أرسله كافة للناس بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة فكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. My dear brethren and sisters, friends and colleagues, it is my first time in the Philippines and MashaAllah, you're a wonderful community to be with. And I ask Allah Rabbul Izzah, the one who gathered me and you here today from the ends of the globe, or from the different ends of the globe, here upon His obedience, may He Azza wa Jal gather us together in Jannat al-Firdaus. Because Wallahi al-Azim, you must understand it is a miracle for people from such different backgrounds to come together only out of the will of the Dhul Arsh al-Majid. Otherwise, I don't know you. I don't. You're from the Philippines. I am from Afghanistan. The only thing that joins me together with you is the Deen of Muhammad. And may Allah Rabbul Izzah out of this deen of Muhammad join us together in Firdaus al-A'la. And the Arabs say it beautifully, you know. They say, أَحْزَانُ قَلْبِي لَا تَزُولُ. The agonies of my heart will persist. حَتَّى أُبَشَّرَ بِالْقَبُولِ. Until I am given the glad tidings of acceptance. وَأَرَى كِتَابِي بِالْيَمِينِ. And I see my book and my right. وَتَقَرَّ عَيْنِي بِالرَّسُولِ. And my eyes rest on the Prophet. So my Allah Rabbul Izzah, as He gathered me and you here tonight, may He gather us again in Jannat al-Firdaus, and may He give us out of His mercy, although we are undeserving of it, the companionship of the Prophet and the sight of our Lord. Say Ameen, Muslims. And I do wish to thank tonight, before I start, the wonderful organization that is the Connect Institute and with these Connecting Pearls conferences. You will really find, and I say this lillah, wallahi lillah, you will really find people as committed, as dedicated, as attentive to detail, as wholesome as these individuals. Wallahi, I came to my hotel and the team and the brothers were waiting there long before I arrived with their gift packs and their niceties. And not only for me, but for people that came much later than me. And I think Ustaz Wail and Mufti Mink and the other shuyukh arrived later from the other event. May Allah Rabbul Izzah bring it in front of you in the day where nothing avails you but the mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzah. Our topic today, my dear brethren and sisters, is the story of a great civilization. A great civilization. If I say it is the story of the giants of the human nation, it would not be an extravagant claim. The Quran says, وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً. So this people, this nation, came after Nuh alayhi salam. So you know the story, you've heard it. Allah Rabbul Izzah destroyed the people of Nuh. After them, the scholars say 80 people survived. From the 80, only the children of Nuh had progeny. The rest, their nasl died. Only Nuh alayhi salam would have children. So imagine, that is why they call Nuh alayhi salam the second Adam. Because once again it started with him. So this Nuh alayhi salam had children. So his children are the children of a prophet and not an ordinary prophet, from the Ulil Azmi min al-Rusul, the greats amidst the prophet. And one of the tribes and one of the children's children and the tribe that came after him are called the children of Ad, or the tribe of Ad. So that was fresh in their minds and in their narratives that a little while ago, Nuh and his the people of Nuh were destroyed. And Allah saved Nuh and some of the story was fresh. Yet still, being close to a time of a past prophet, not too many generations had passed, the people, and although Allah had cleansed the world once already, again shaitan comes to poison the aqidah of man. So now again they turn to idol worship. I will come to this a little bit later, but let me describe these people. The scholars say that they were such mighty a creation that if they held a palm tree, they could pull it out with one hand. Mighty creation. And Allah Himself, His Creator, says, "Allati lam yukhlaq mithluha fil bilad," a creation the like of which was not created on the lands. This is not all, you know. Our youngsters, the young man today or the young lady today, they go to the gym and work out. You know, so mashallah, after a few months he looks, says, subhanallah, you know, I've got muscles. So his walk changes. You've seen the walk? The walk changes. Or Allah gives him some wealth, the way he walks changes. Or Allah gives him some fame, his walk, do you know what I mean by the walk? His attitude changes. You can see it on him. But still, he is a tiny creation. The people of Ad could pull a palm tree out with their hands. And the Quran says, إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. They were men like pillars. Huge creation. And such a magnificent creation that not only were they satisfied with the ordinary of life, they started to do really novel things. The Quran says, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ. On every pinnacle they used to build a monumental building. They wouldn't live in it, you'd just look and go, wow. You know when a person builds a building for nothing, when he's already overcome the normal struggles of life, what else? Let me build a work of art. And you would think if a person is big and mighty, he would be dumb and clumsy, with all due respect. This is just, you know, you would think he's big. The people of Ad were advanced in civilization. The Quran says, you will take industry, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ. You busy yourself in industry. What type of industry? Industry designed to make you live forever. So they lived long lives, thousands of years. If I take an average of 1,000, it wouldn't be an extravagant claim. So can you imagine a person living to 1,000? And multiple wives. And how many kids they were. And Allah blessed them. And the Prophet tells them, and he gave you livestock and children, abundance. And you would think if a person has a lot of children, then he has financial problems. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, and I gave you gardens and water to come out of it. A spoiled nation. Everything good was going. You know, they had size, they had intelligence, they had sophistication, they had civilization. Everything was going for them. Whatever good, it was happening. Their problem was shaitan had tricked them from their belief. And you want to see temperament. You know, what would his attitude be like? The Quran says, وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. And when you come into conflict and confrontation, you annihilate your enemies. They wouldn't just beat them. They were excessive in killing. Like if you opposed and a war broke out between you and Ad, they would make sure that not you and your progeny ever raise their head again. وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. To this people, Allah sent a messenger. قال تعالى وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. And to the people of Ad, we sent Hud alayhi salam. I want to just stop there for one sec to link to the talk that happened previously. Almost always, whenever Allah sent a warner and a prophet and a da'i and a promoter and a propagator to a people, he sent it from amidst them. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ. To the people of Ad, he sent their brother Hud, as in from the same tribe, as in from you know, from the same bloodline. This highlights one thing, and I want to highlight it here today very quickly. Is that when a brother calls a brother to something, there's an element of love. Because you care about your brother. You stand for your brother. You protect your brother. You maintain your brother. You boost him up. You're there for your brother. So whenever Allah sent a prophet, he made sure that there is that love in the da'wah that says, listen, I need to save him from Jahannam. So Muslims, we have reached a sad place in life today where we boast happy in our silos that I have a good family, mashallah, we are sheikhs from 4 generations, 10 generations. We don't mix with the raggedy rag, you know, we are not, alhamdulillah, we are, you know, a cut above the rest. Totally opposite to the murad of Allah and the murad of the Rasul. You are meant to be part of a people and care for the people and spread the da'wah to the people with the hope that Allah would save them and save you through saving them. So Allah Rabbul Azza says, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. His message, قَالَ يَا قَوْمٍ. He said, oh my people, يَا قَوْمٍ. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. O my people, worship Allah alone. Besides Him, there is no being worth worshipping. I am sure you have heard it all day long, but I want to stress this just a little bit more. Muslims understand, and the heavens above, nor the earth below, is there a concept of greater importance to the ذُلْ عَرْشِ الْمَجِيدِ and فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدِ than the concept of the oneness of Allah Rabbul Izzah. He Azza wa Jal sent 124,000 messengers. Each one came with this message. O my people, worship Allah alone. Besides him, there is no being worth worshipping. قال تعالى وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. From before we sent Nuh alayhi salam, his message, O my people, worship Allah alone. Besides him, there is no being worth worshipping. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. To the people of Ad, we sent Hud alayhi salam, his message, O my people, worship Allah alone. Besides him, there is no being worthy of worship. Wa ila Thamud akhahum Saliha. And to the people of Thamud, we sent Salih alayhi salam, his message, qala ya qawmi abudullah ma lakum min ilahin ghayruh. O my people, worship Allah alone. Besides him, there is no being worthy of worship. Wa ila Madyana akhahum Shu'ayba. And to the people of Madyan, we sent Shu'ayb alayhi salam, his message, qala ya qawmi abudullah ma lakum min ilahin ghayruh. O my people, worship Allah alone. Besides him, there is no being worth worshipping. Allah Rabbul Izzah sent Musa alayhi salam, and in part gave him the Ten Commandments. And one of the first of the Ten Commandments, and understand this, in the Semitic cultures, the first means the most important of the Ten Commandments. In the Hebrew, the Shema, Israelu Adnai Luhainu Adnai Echad. Hear, O Israel, that the Lord, thy God, the Lord is one. 13 centuries after Musa alayhi salam, Isa came. They asked him in the book of Matthew, Master, Rabbi, which is the first of the Ten Commandments? He answered word for word the word of Musa. Shema, hear, O Israel, that the Lord, thy God, the Lord is one. Allah Rabbul Izzah is one and only. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, uttering the words that Allah Rabbul Izzah revealed to him, says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, O Muhammad, Allah is one and only. And even if you are not a prophet, you still proclaim the same. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ. And when Luqman alayhi salam, you know, told his family, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, my son, don't ever commit shirk with Allah Rabbul Izzah. Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. Disassociating partners with Allah Rabbul Izzah is a stupendous crime. And as tawheed is the biggest concept between the heavens and earth, the biggest sin in the sight of the Dhul Arsh al-Majid and fa'alul lima yureed is to associate a partner and with the majesty of Allah Rabbul Izzah. To give someone else the characteristics of Allah Rabbul Izzah. To bring someone else equal to the majesty of Allah Rabbul Izzah. To use someone else as intermediaries between you and Allah Rabbul Izzah. Subhanallah, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به. Allah will not forgive those who associate partners with him. ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. And Allah رب العزة will forgive anything else that comes after this. ومن يشرك بالله, whoever associates a partner with Allah رب العزة, فَقَدْ حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. Allah makes Jannah haram for him, and his abode will be Jahannam. So understand, dear Muslims, that the most important topic now, yesterday, and tomorrow, and forever, is to make sure that you know who your Lord is, so that you don't get murky and confused and lost in your aqeedah, in your belief. Allah orders you to do this. فَعْلَمْ and learn أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that there is no being worth worshipping except for Allah Rabbul Izzah. Learn the oneness of Allah. Learn the attributes of Allah. Learn the qualities of Allah. Understand who your Lord is. For too long we have been, there's been confusion in the ummah about their Lord. For too long they've gone to graves asking for help. For too long they've given the majesty, the attributes of the Dhul Arsh al-Majid to others. For too long he has feared other than Allah Rabbul Izzah. And when, listen to me Muslims, When you become a muwahid, when you understand who your Lord is, and who you worship, and who's on your side, as in Allah, Rabbul, Allah will free you from the shackles of this world. Right now, you're afraid of your boss and of every man. He will cut my wage. He will do this. He will do that. You live a life of fear. And you become a muwahid and you realize, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah is the provider. But you say, Ustaz, but I get my money from my job, whether it's a, institution or whether it's an organization or school, whatever. I get it from him. I want to give you an example, Muslims. Imagine you're traveling somewhere and me and you are friends. And then you had some problem, a difficulty comes, so you give me a call, you say, listen, Ustaz, I'm in a bit of a mess. Can you send me some money? I say, Akhi, give me your account details, I will transfer, go pick it up from the ATM. So you go, you type in your key, the money comes from an ATM machine. It would be wrong for you to start kissing the ATM machine and say, thank you, ATM didn't send it, Akhi, I sent you the money. It is wrong for you to think that you get your money from this job. But no, Allah is the one who sent it. Whichever ATM he uses is his prerogative. Ar-Razzaq huwa Allah. Say it to yourself till it becomes part of your belief that my provider is Allah. The one who cures me is Allah. Wa Rabbul Kaaba. The one who cures is Allah. I have seen cases of cancer and the word of Allah cures it. The word of Allah cures it. And I have seen, imagine a room, a family of 6-7 people. Everyone is down with the same virus. You give them all the same medication. 4 is fixed, 3 is still sick. Who cured and who gave sickness? If it was medication, they should have all been cured. The Shafi is Allah. Your protector is Allah. Understand, if you become a muwahid, life will look different. I will give you an example. The Rasul is having a siesta, a nap under a tree. The Ashab say it was hot, we were traveling. He rested, he put his sword on a branch. A non-Muslim came, took the sword. And Arab swords are sharp swords. Swords are made for cutting. You know, they used to shave the head of children with the blade, like the very sharp things. Some stories I read from the past, they say if they chucked the handkerchief down and pulled the blade under it, it would cut it. Sharp. So the man took this sharp blade and placed it on the neck of the Rasul. So the Prophet woke up. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the situation. You know, not a blade on your neck. So the man says, who will save you from me today, O Muhammad? You want to see a muwahid? Listen to the answer, Allah. Who will save you? Allah. Allah, what silly a question. Who, of course Allah will save me. You think because you've got, this is not the word of the narration, this is my explanation. You think because you've got a blade in my neck somehow, Allah Rabbul Izzah is not there. Allah will save me. So the man's hand froze and it starts to shake and the blade fell. So the Rasul picked it up, put it on his neck. He says, who will save you from me today? Do you see that once you understand the qudra and the power and you're able to identify the majesty and grandeur of your Lord, you're freed from the shackles and fears of the ordinary men. He is in the ghar, ghar al-thawr. You know, subhanAllah, I told them I would be short, but just tell them he won't. The غار الثور, you know, it's a two-hour climb. I say this when I explain Sirah to my students. I climbed it up when I was halfway there, and alhamdulillah, I'm relatively young. So I looked down, people looked small. And I looked up and there was so much more to go. You know when you feel helpless, and my legs were starting to, my knees were shaking. So I wanted to cry, like, where am I going to go, up or down? You know, it was very difficult. But the Rasul climbed this at 53 years of age. Reached the ghar. The whole of the peninsula are chasing him because there's a 200 camel reward on his head and on Abu Bakr's head. So they bring trackers to track the footprints. They found them under the mountain. They climbed the mountain 2 hours. Now there's stairs, it's 2 hours. Before it's probably 3-4 hours. The peak of the mountain is the ghar. It's the cave, Ghar al-Thawr. It's slightly elevated like the stage. You guys can't see from there, yeah? So basically where you're sitting, that partition there, you kind of climb into the cave. You know, you climb in. So the people sitting on the cave are like sitting on the stage. They can see you, but you need to put your head down and see them. But they've reached the mouth of the cave. It does not make sense to climb up for 3 hours and don't check inside the cave. What did you come for then? And to make matters worse, the cave has two openings, one from this side, one from this side. So the scholars of Sirah say, one of them decided he needs to answer the call of nature and went to this side of the cave. The others are standing here. Him, if he looks down, he can see them. They, if they look up, they would you acknowledge that it's a difficult situation to be in? And dead or alive, 200 camels. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was anxious, not for himself, for the Rasul. What happens if at my watch the Prophet gets hurt? So what do you think the answer of a muwahhid is? ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Abu Bakr, don't worry, Allah is with us. I read stories of the righteous before us falling asleep on battlefield. Think about that. Man cannot sleep in a mansion with the latest bedding, nicest ergonomic setting, and he still needs volume to go to sleep because Allah has taken away peace and tranquility from their lives. And this person in the thick of battle, Allah blesses him with such peace and serenity that he falls asleep on battlefield. Not unconscious, asleep. Do you understand, Muslims, that once Tawheed enters your heart as it should, once you recognize that the Maker is Allah, the Creator is Allah, the Sustainer is Allah, the Maintainer is Allah, the Shafi is Allah, the Kafi is Allah. When once you understand your Lord, you're set free from the shackles that hold humanity. So Hud alayhi salam came to this people, oh majestic people, how have you come to the level where you think the non-living thing can become gods of the living? How did a stone become your god? قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ Worship Allah alone, مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ But the problem is, when you've lived in darkness too long, and imagine this room becomes dark for half an hour and everything is 100% dark, and I hold a torch here, it will be uncomfortable to your eyes. Because your eye is used to darkness. So your first attempt, you kind of shut your eyes from it and you go, turn it off. And if you can't turn it off and it's a lamp, it's a candle, you blow it, you go. This is always the first reaction when haq comes. It's astonishment. It's strange for them. قال تعالى بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون. They were astonished that a messenger has come from amidst them, and they said إن هذا لشيء عجاب. This is a strange phenomena. أجعلوا آلهة إلها واحدة إن هذا لشيء عجاب. Do you make all these gods into one god? This is a strange phenomena. Do you see? It's strange to the eyes. So then the next step is they try to blow it out. قال تعالى يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم. They wish to blow out the candle or the light of Allah with their mouth. In our times, the media is very busy with trying to blow out the light, but it's a strange light. The more they blow, the bigger it gets. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. I went to Hajj, I swear Eskimos are in Hajj. So, they resist it. First with logic, but what logic can meet the logic of the Creator? So then they say, this is a man possessed. But possessed people do not speak like that. So they said, our gods have damaged his head. And all the while, this wonderful Prophet of Allah, Rabbul Izzah, is telling them, oh my people, fear Allah. Oh my people, come to Allah. Oh my people, listen. Fear, love, remember the one who gave you everything you know. Who gave you everything you know. He gave you all your livestock and he gave you all these children. And for them he gave you the gardens and he gave you the waters. So eventually they came to this. They said, O Hud, preach or don't preach, it makes no effects to us. Like ramble on, we are not listening. And so, this is, learn this please Muslims. The sunnah of Allah Rabbul Izzah is that when you don't listen, He sends you a punishment. قال تعالى وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ. So Allah Rabbul Izzah will give you the taste of a small punishment instead of the big one, so that you could turn back to Allah. He puts a little inconvenience in your path. You get a headache. You have a fight. You have a little car accident. You lose, a difficulty comes. It is supposed to jolt you to say, hold on, what am I doing wrong? Our predecessors, if they fell off a donkey, this is here, forget about the predecessor. Let's go to the time of the Sahaba. A Sahabi is walking. As he's walking, his eye fell on a lady. So walking, he bumped into, looking, walking, bumped into the pillar, fell down, his face fell in the dirt. But you see, these are the students of the Rasul. So he didn't pick his face up and pretend nothing's happened and walk away fast, as you would see, you know, like a normal Hollywood reaction. He kept his face there. He goes, go call the Rasul. Call the Prophet. Why has this happened? So the Prophet said, you sinned. So Allah Rabbul Izzah put you back in line, repent and Allah will forgive. Do you understand? And of the Salaf, this huge scholars, when they used to fall off their donkeys, they used to look at the Mus'haf, I did that wrong, that's why Allah dropped me. Introspect at every step of life to say, why is this happening? Don't worry, we have become concentrating on how it's happening.
We don't think why it's happening. So we say, you know, the tectonic plates slipped one off the other. It displaced a lot of water. The water came as a tidal wave. It drowned this. Khalas, that's the technical. Why has it happened? Do you not think that way? It's like a father disciplines his son. And the son goes, oh, I know what happened. This muscle contracted. This one extended. It came at this speed. It got me on. Why doesn't he think why it happened? So when a difficulty comes, think why it happened. So the first thing that happened to these people, Allah sent them a drought. When the drought came, the grass died, animals are having problems, they're having problems. So the Prophet told them, oh my people, Ya qawm istaghfiru rabbakum, thumma toobu ilayh. Oh my people, repent to Allah. Make tawbah, ask for forgiveness. Then turn to His path, and Allah will send rain upon you again. And not only that, He will make add strength to your strength. وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ And Allah will add strength to your strength. So now they reached another level where the people said, He is just making up stories about Allah. What's this got to do with Allah? What's about God? This is nature and all the rest of it. So the Prophet made a dua. He said, oh my Lord, help me because they be lying me. And at the end of that verse, they said, we will not believe in you. This is confirmed. So belief is finished. Don't think, belief is, we will not believe in you. So the Prophet made the dua. Oh Allah, help me because they be lying me. So Allah Rabbul Izzah revealed the verse, told His Prophet, in a little while they will regret what they're done, what they're doing. In a little while. So when drought comes, what do you look for? Huh? What do you look for when a drought comes? How does water come? What brings rain? Clouds. So they're looking for clouds. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. So they looked at the horizon. And wow, can you imagine for a thirsting people, a black cloud is coming. And black cloud means it's laden with water, it's full of juice. You know, everything will grow. So when they looked at it, they said, قالوا هذا عارضٌ ممطرنا. This is the cloud that will bring us rain. Happy days are coming. Allah said, بل. No. وما استعجلتم به. This is what you were asking for. ريح فيها عذاب أليم. A storm in which there is a severe punishment. And I watched as part of my research footage of tornadoes and hurricanes and bad winds. And I say this, I was watching satellite images and the hair on my spine was standing. As it gathers up in the command of its Lord, growing energetic and strong, carrying up with it coolness and water and a tunnel of air gushing from the middle of it. And that tornado comes and it just strikes the land for a few minutes and goes. And in that few minutes it tears it apart. You know, you see houses fly. The wooden ones, not the concrete ones, because you think Ustaz is exaggerating, you know. And you see animals, livestock in the wind. But it's just a moment. And I have been not in storms, in dark clouds. And I saw traffic pulled to the side and just stopped because they were scared of the darkness alone. I can't feel this because I try to feel a story when I'm talking. But Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَأَمَّا عَاد. And as for the people of Ad, we sent upon them the wind. رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا عَاتِيَةً. A cold, hollowing, screaming wind. سخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حصوما. For 7 nights and 8 days, it wasn't leaving, it was just pounding and pounding. An hour would have sufficed. 2 hours would have sufficed. 7 nights, 8 consecutive days. For this people who said, Man ashaddu minna quwwa. Who is there mightier than us? So Allah Rabbul Izzah said, do they not know that their creator is more powerful than them? So Allah Rabbul Izzah erased them. Some scholars say, not only did their bodies fly, their limbs flew off. So that they were left like trunks of trees without its branches. So meaning as in even their heads had flown off. And then Allah Rabbul Izzah concludes, have you seen any remnants of them? فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. For the others, Allah has never said this, you know, do you see any signs of them? Because their signs are still there. Fir'aun's sign is there, the buildings of Thamud. For Ad, he says, you will not even find them. And there's two surahs revealed with this topic. One is the surah of Hud. And the other one is the surah of Ahqaf, as in the sand dunes, because nothing but dunes were left after it was gone. I want to highlight a couple of things here, my brothers, and I will finish with this because my time is running out. That when the drought came, the Prophet gave them the solution. The Prophet gave them the solution. Make istighfar to Allah. Make tawbah to Allah. Repent. Say istighfar. Say, seek forgiveness for your wrong and then don't stop there. Change your direction and move towards right. Seek forgiveness and turn towards right. And make it a part of your day, young Muslim and old Muslim and male Muslim and female Muslim. In a time where sin has become pervasive and invasive in it, as every, make a lot of istighfar. Because from the punishment of Allah Rabbul Izzah, me and you were given two safeties. Two things that we could hide behind and keep the azab of Allah away. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. The first, the Prophet. So long as Allah said, so long as he is amidst you, I will not punish you. So the Rasul died and left. His sunnah is with us, but the Rasul went. The second one, and Allah will not punish them so long as they seek forgiveness. So the only salvation you have now is perpetual istighfar. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I say more than 100 istighfar a day, and some say in a gathering. Busy yourselves with istighfar. Astaghfirullah al-azim. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive. Astaghfirullah al-azim. Make it a habit. And wallahi, Allah will open all the doors of goodness upon you. And I don't say this all because, you know, I'm wearing a nice, you know, golden robe and I know things, you know. In the time of Hassan al-Basri, He was alim zahid taqi naqi lillah alwali min ash-shaytan bari, you know, a righteous man, and he had students, so he was busy with them, and a man came and he said, Sheikh, I have problems. So he goes, what's your problem? So he goes, there's no rain in our land, drought has come, give me something to do. So he said, increase the saying of istighfar. So he thanked him and went. The other man came, Sheikh, poverty has struck us. There's no income, no money. So he says, say istighfar, increase the saying of istighfar. And his students are watching. Third person came, Sheikha, I can't have children. He said, increase the saying of istighfar. So you know, the students look, Sheikh, you know, every person came with whatever sickness, you have one medication, just injecting everyone the same thing. What's going on? So the Sheikh said, it's from the Quran. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Make istighfar of Allah. Allah will send the sky down with helpful rain for you. He will bestow you with wealth and progeny and make your gardens grow, and around it springs of water will come. All for the saying of istighfar and the returning to Allah Rabbul Izzah with seeking forgiveness of Allah Rabbul Izzah. Make istighfar, Muslims. Wallahi al-Azim, there are so many stories I can share, but these are my two favorites on this one. Amidst the scholars of the past, one of the famous ones is Ahmad ibn Hanbal. You know, they call him the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah. And such a giant of an Imam, some of the people in his madhab say that no one served the religion after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu more than Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Because just in the days of Mihna, you know, for years he took imprisonment and house arrest, but he would not budge on his stance on the deen. So his fame and repute extended across the Muslim land. Everyone knew him, but there was no selfies in those days, you know. You know, you couldn't share a picture. So no one knew. Few people around him and his students and Ahlul Ilm knew what the Sheikh looked like. Most people hadn't seen him, but they had heard about him. So Imam Ahmad went on a travel from his city to another city. And when he reached that city, night befell him. He was in a masjid, and he was trying to sleep in the masjid because in those days there was no hotels and things, you know. So the guard came and he said, get out of the masjid. So he said, listen, I'm a traveler. I don't have any way to go. I will just be here till tomorrow and then I will be on my way. So he said, no, get out. So the Sheikh went and sat outside the door. Can you imagine? This was a man, you know, who when he used to walk, hundreds would be walking with him and they would kiss his head and hold his books. Hey, Imam Ahmad was Imam Ahmad. Now he's sitting at the door of the masjid. So he looks at him, he goes, didn't I tell you to go? He goes, I'm outside. He goes, no, get out. So he said, listen, it's just... So he said he held the Imam from his leg and dragged him onto the street. Imam Ahmad. So, and the Sheikh, subhanallah, you know. And when he's landed in the middle of the road, across the road was a baker. You know, the one that makes bread. So the baker saw him and he goes, listen, you know, he sees in him signs of piety and taqwa. So he goes, come here and sleep in my bakery, like, you know, and I am making the dough all night and fixing the bread, because for people will come at Fajr to buy, but you sleep here as I'm doing my work. So the Imam thanked him and went and laid down, but he's watching him, that every time he makes the dough, he says, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. And as he's making Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. So all night he saw this man, Astaghfar, Astaghfar, Astaghfar. So he went to him, he goes, for how long have you been on this practice? For how long have you been practicing this? So he said, for a long time now. I'll be perfectly on time. So he said, for how long? He said, for a long time. So he goes, have you seen any benefits? Because no one can be so consistent and perpetual on dhikr and on istighfar and Allah not grant him some favor. So he goes, I've realized that whatever dua I ask, Allah grants me, except for one dua that he hasn't accepted. So he said, what dua was this? He said, I prayed that, Ya Rab, let me see Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and so far I haven't seen him. So the Shaykh said, he goes, Subhanallah. He dragged me by my feet to come into your bakery. Simply because, imagine, out of my city into his house, out of his house when I was refusing, dragged me by my feet so that I could come and answer to your dua. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. My dear brothers, turn to Allah, Rabbul Izzah. Wallahi, I don't say this as a nice to say, but all of your the problems to all your answers is Allah, Rabbul Izzah. Your refuge from every difficulty is Allah, Rabbul Izzah. Turn to Him with wallahi, turn once to Allah, Rabbul Izzah, and you will find your Lord more merciful and more accommodating and more accepting than the kindest of the kind of this world. And my dear brothers, this is my last with you. In a few hours, I fly back home. Pray for your brother, and my Allah Rabbul Izzah protect you, guide you, and guard you, and have mercy upon you. فَقُلْتُ مَا قُلْتُ إِنْ تَكُوا حَسَنَةً فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ تَكُوا سَيِّئَةً فَمِنْ نَفْسِي وَشَيْطَانِ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.